Our text today comes out of Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear up his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, the Gospels introduce Jesus' ministry in a loud and bold way. They don't start with soft music, beautiful candles, or the peaceful scenes that we often think about when we are thinking about Christmas or Advent. Instead, Matthew shows us a man standing in a dry wilderness shouting for everyone to hear. John the Baptist does not speak quietly or ease people into his message. He urgently cries out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." He delivers this message far from Jerusalem, far from the temple, and far from the places that people see as holy. He begins in the wilderness, suggesting that this is where God starts things new. It can be rather bold, or courageous actually, to preach a message like John the Baptist, especially during Advent. Because Advent has become a season where we like things soft and comfortable. We talk about hope and peace and joy and love. We picture lights and windows and families gathered around the table. But then here comes John, like an unexpected guest at Christmas dinner. He shows up, he's wearing camel's hair, he's eating locusts and honey. And he says, "You need to get ready." And getting ready starts with repentance. John reminds us that Advent was never meant to be passive. Advent is not a spiritual waiting room full of music. Advent is preparation. Advent is clearing out what no longer belongs so that Christ has room to move. Advent is turning our hearts back toward God, so that when Jesus steps into our lives, and Jesus always steps into our lives, nothing stands in the way of grace doing its work. Matthew tells us that John preached in the wilderness. This isn't by accident. In Scripture, the wilderness is the place where God forms his people. The wilderness is where pretenses fall. It's where all the noise dies down. It's where Israel became a people, and it's where Moses learned to trust God. It's where Elijah heard that still small voice. And now the wilderness is where God announces that his kingdom is about to break into the world again. Sometimes we feel like we live in the wilderness. Life gets busy, it's stretched thin, it's worn out. People carry grief, disappointments, regrets, unanswered prayers. Families face tough times. Churches think about the future. The wilderness can feel lonely, and it often seems like nothing ever thrives there. But the Bible reminds us that God does his best work in the wilderness. The wilderness helps us focus. It takes us away from the false belief that we can save ourselves. It shows us that we need the God who is close to us. And here we are on the second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of peace, listening to a prophet whose voice sounds anything but peaceful at first. Maybe John is offering the kind of peace we often overlook, not the peace that comes from everything going smoothly, but the peace that comes from honesty, from clearing out what's broken so something new and holy can take root. Sometimes peace begins with disruption. Sometimes peace begins with truth we would rather avoid. John's call to repent is really a call to be at peace with God again, to stop running, to stop hiding, to stop pretending, and let the grace of God meet us right where we are. John's message begins with one word, repent. Repentance is a word that has been misused at times, but Scripture never treats it as shame or punishment. Repentance is not God catching us doing something wrong and pointing a finger at us. Repentance is God inviting us to turn around so that we don't miss what he's trying to do. It's clearing a path so Christ can come all the way in. Not just to the surface of our lives, but to the deep places, to the secret places we don't always show the world. Repentance says, I want to be ready for whatever God wants to do next. It's a freeing word, not a crushing one. It clears away the clutter we've been tripping over. It loosens the grip of things that we were never meant to hold on to. It breaks patterns that keep us stuck. Repentance makes room, and Advent is all about making room. Matthew says that the people came out from Jordan and Judea to hear John. They confessed their sins. They were baptized in the Jordan River. Think about what that means. These people left their comfort and they went into a wilderness because they believed God was doing something new. That takes humility. It takes hunger. And instead of pretending that they were fine, instead of putting on religious masks, they opened their hearts and named the truth about their lives. They confessed, not to be embarrassed, but to be free. Confession is simply telling the truth to God so that the truth can set you free. John's words to the religious leaders sound harsh at first. Bear fruit worthy of repentance, he tells them. They wanted the appearance of righteousness without the surrender that comes with repentance. John didn't condemn their heritage. He simply tells them that it isn't enough. Being children of God is a gift, but it doesn't replace transformation. God desires the kind of faith that shows up in the way we live, speak, forgive, and love. Repentance isn't a one-time event. It's an ongoing posture that says, Lord, shape me, correct me, heal me, form me, open me. It's the daily act of turning toward the light when darkness tries to pull us in a different direction. It's what clears our spiritual vision so that we can see what God is doing right in front of us. And if Advent tells us anything, it tells us that God is always doing something right in front of us. We just need hearts prepared to notice. John also points ahead to Jesus. The one who comes after me is more powerful than I, he says. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John can call for repentance, but only Jesus can change the heart. John can wash the outside with water, but only Jesus can purify the inside with the fire of the Spirit. That fire is not meant to destroy us. It burns away what harms us. It purifies what is good. It seals us with God's presence so that the kingdom isn't just near, it is within. Advent reminds us that Jesus did not just arrive in Bethlehem, he keeps arriving. He steps into broken places and he speaks peace. He steps into guilt and speaks forgiveness. He steps into fear and speaks courage. He steps into confusion and speaks wisdom. He steps into weary churches and he breathes new life. And repentance is simply the act of removing anything that blocks his voice, his grace, or his healing. So what does preparing for Christ look like for us? Sometimes it looks like releasing bitterness that we've carried too long. Sometimes it looks like letting go of an old story we tell ourselves about who we are. Sometimes it looks like admitting that we have been trying to fix things on our own strength. And sometimes it looks like slowing down, praying again, forgiving again, choosing mercy again. And because this is the Sunday of peace, maybe preparing for Christ means letting God speak peace into the places where we've been anxious, where we've been overwhelmed, or maybe where we're trying too hard to control outcomes that were never ours to carry. Preparing for Christ might look like healing a relationship before Christmas morning. It might look like confessing hidden struggles and finding freedom. It might look like opening Scripture with a quiet heart. It might look like asking God to give you a fresh awareness of His Spirit. It may look like making space for hope where cynicism has taken over. Whatever it looks like, repentance is the doorway through which God's love enters more fully. John's voice cries out across the centuries, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John is giving us an invitation. God is saying, I want to come close. I want to dwell with you. I want to do a new thing in you. But you have to make room. Advent gives us time to make that room, to examine our hearts without fear, to return to God without shame, to let grace do its cleansing work so that joy can take root again. And the beauty of repentance is this. The moment we turn toward God, we discover that He is turned toward us. Before we called, He answered. Before we repented, His grace was already preparing the way. So let's move deeper into this Advent season. Let's not settle for waiting without preparing. Let's clear the path. Let's open the door. Let's sweep out the dust and make room for the Lord who comes to save. Christ is drawing near. And repentance makes the heart ready for His arrival. Bow your heads with me, please. Jesus, you call us to prepare the way, and we want to be people with hearts wide open for your coming. As we leave this space, help us carry the spirit of repentance, not heaviness, but hope. Help us walk with humility, forgive quickly, listen well, and love generously. Let your peace take root deep within us, touching the anxious places, softening the hardened places, and guiding us into the week ahead. Keep our eyes open to the ways you show up. In quiet moments, in unexpected conversations, and in the wilderness, places where we least expect you. Help us make room for you every day. In your holy name. Amen.